Continue now with Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori and the chapter on the means of preparing for death. Not to wait till the last moment. The Lord called the virgins foolish who wished to prepare their lamps when the bridegroom was nigh. All have a horror of sudden death because there is no time to settle the accounts of conscience. All confess that the saints have been truly wise, because they prepared for death during life. And what are we doing? Shall we expose ourselves to the danger of preparing for death when it arrives? We ought to do at present what we shall then wish to have done. Oh, what pain will then arise from the remembrance of time lost, and still more from the remembrance of time spent in sin, time given by God to merit eternal life, but now past and never to return. What anguish will the sinner feel when he shall be told, "You can be steward no longer"? There is no more time for doing penance, for frequenting the sacraments, for hearing sermons, for visiting Jesus Christ in the Holy Sacrament, or for prayer. What is done is done. To make a good confession, to remove several grievous scruples and thus tranquilize the conscience, would require a better state of mind and time more free from confusion and agitation. But time will be no more. Affections and prayers. Ah, my God, had I died on one of the nights known to thee, where should I be at present? I thank thee for having waited for me. I thank thee for all those moments which I should have spent in hell from the first moment that I offended thee. Ah, give me light, and make me sensible of the great evil I've done thee, involuntarily losing thy grace, which thou didst merit for me by the sacrifice of thy life on the cross. Ah, my Jesus, pardon me. I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart, and above all things for having despised thee, who art infinite goodness. Ah, assist me, my Savior, that I may never lose thee again. Alas, my Lord, if I return again to sin, after so many lights and graces which thou hast bestowed upon me, I shall deserve a hell to be made on purpose for myself. Through the merits of that blood which thou hast shed for my sake, do not permit me evermore to offend thee. Give me holy perseverance, give me thy love. I love thee and will never cease to love thee till death. My God, have mercy on me for the love of Jesus Christ. O Mary, my hope, do thou too have pity on me. Recommend me to God. Thy recommendations are never rejected by that God who loves thee so tenderly. Second point, put our conscience in a good state and regulate our lives. Brother, since it is certain that you will die, go as soon as possible to the foot of the crucifix. Thank your crucified Redeemer for the time which in his mercy he gives you to settle the affairs of your conscience, and then review all the irregularities of your past life, particularly of your youth. Cast a glance at the commandments of God. Examine yourself on the duties of the state of life in which you've lived, and on the society you've frequented. Mark down in writing the sins you've committed. Make a general confession of your whole life, if you have not as yet made one. Oh, how much does a general confession contribute to regularity of life in a Christian? Consider that you have to settle accounts for eternity, and take care to adjust them as if you were on the point of rendering these accounts to Jesus Christ at judgment. Banish from your heart every sinful affection and every sentiment of rancor. Remove every ground of scruple on account of the injury done to the property or character of others, or of scandal to your neighbor, and resolve to fly from all those occasions on which you should be in danger of losing God. Remember that what now seems difficult will appear impossible at the hour of death. It is still more important for you to resolve to practice the means of preserving your soul in the grace of God. These means are hearing Mass every day, the meditation on the eternal truths, the frequentation of the sacraments of penance and Eucharist at least every 8 days, a visit every day to the Most Holy Sacrament and to the image of the Divine Mother, attendance at her confraternity, spiritual reading, examination of conscience every evening, some special devotion to the Blessed Virgin, along with fasting every Saturday in her honor. Above all, resolve to recommend yourself frequently to God and to the Blessed Virgin, and frequently to invoke, in the time of temptations, the sacred names of Jesus and Mary. These are the names by which you will be able to secure a happy death and to obtain eternal life. The practice of these means will be for you a great sign of your predestination. And as to the past, trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, who now gives you these lights, because he desires your salvation. And trust in the intercession of Mary, who obtains these lights for you. Oh, if you adopt this mode of life and place great confidence in Jesus and Mary, what aid will you receive from God, and what strength will your soul acquire? Dearly beloved, give yourself then instantly to God, who invites you, and begin to enjoy that peace of which you've been hitherto deprived through your own fault. And what greater peace can a soul enjoy than to be able to say in going to rest at night, "Should death come this night, I hope to die in the grace of God." How happy the man who, amid the terrors of thunder or of earthquakes, is prepared to accept death with resignation, should God be pleased to send it. Affections and Prayers. Ah, my Lord, with what fervor do I thank thee for the light which thou gavest me. I have so often abandoned thee and turned my back upon thee, but thou hast not abandoned me. Hadst thou abandoned me, I should now be blind, as I have hitherto wished to be. I should be obstinate in my sins, and should not have the desire either to renounce sin or to love thee. I now feel a great sorrow for having offended thee, a great desire to be in the state of grace. I feel a hatred of these accursed delights which have made me lose thy friendship. These sentiments are all graces which come from thee, and make me hope that thou wilt pardon and save me. Since then, after all my sins, thou hast not abandoned me. Since thou wishest to save me, behold, O Lord, I give myself entirely to thee. I am sorry above all things for having offended thee, and I propose to lose life 1,000 times rather than forfeit thy grace. I love thee, O my sovereign good. I love thee, O my Jesus, who hast died for me, and I hope in thy blood that thou wilt not permit me to be ever again separated from thee. O my Jesus, I will never more lose thee. I wish to love thee always during life. I wish to love thee at death. I wish to love thee for all eternity. Preserve me then, O Lord, at all times, and increase my love for thee. This favor I ask through thy merits. Mary, my hope, pray to Jesus for me. Third point, in the means of preparing for death, we must detach ourselves from the world. It is also necessary to endeavor to be at all times in a state in which we desire to be at death. Blessed are he dead who die in the Lord. St. Ambrose says that they die well who at the hour of death are found dead to the world, that is, detached from the goods from which death will separate us by force. We ought then, from this moment, to accept the spoliation of our goods and the separation from relatives and from everything in this world. Unless we do it voluntarily during life, we shall have to do it, through necessity, at death, but with extreme pain and great danger of eternal perdition. Hence, St. Augustine says that to settle during life all temporal matters and dispose by will of all the goods we shall have to bequeath contribute greatly to a tranquil death. Because when all worldly affairs are already adjusted, the soul may be entirely occupied in uniting itself to God. At that hour, we should think and speak only of God and of paradise. These last moments are too precious to be squandered in earthly thoughts. At death is completed the crown of the elect, for it is then, perhaps, that they reap the greatest harvest of merits by embracing with resignation and love death and all its pains. But the Christian who has not been in the habit of exciting these sentiments during life will not have them at the hour of death. Hence, some devout souls, with great spiritual profit to themselves, are accustomed to renew every month, after being at confession and communion, the protestation of death along with the Christian acts, imagining themselves at the point of death, and to be near their departure from the world. Unless you do this during life, you will find it very difficult to do it at death. In her last illness, that great servant of God, Sister Catherine of St. Albert's, of the Order of St. Teresa, sent forth a sigh and said, "Sisters, I do not sigh through fear of death, for I have lived for 25 years in expectation of it. But I sigh at the sight of so many deluded Christians who spend their life in sin and reduce themselves to the necessity of making peace with God at death, when I can scarcely pronounce the name of Jesus. Examine then, O my brother, if you are now attached to anything on this earth, to any person, to any honor, to your house, to your money, to conversations or amusements, and reflect that you are not immortal. You must one day, and perhaps very soon, take leave of them all. Why then do you cherish any attachment to them, and thus expose yourself to the risk of an unhappy death? Offer from this moment all to God. Tell him you're ready to give up all things whenever he pleases to deprive you of them. If you wish to die with resignation, you must from this moment resign yourself to all the contradictions and adversities which may happen to you, and must divest yourself of all affections to earthly things. Imagine yourself on the bed of death, and you will despise all things in this world. He, says Jerome, who always thinks that he is to die, easily despises all things. If you have not yet chosen a state of life, make choice of that state of life which at death you will wish to have selected, and which will make you die with greater peace. If you have already made choice of a state of life, do now what at death you will wish to have done in that state. Spend every day as if it were the last of your life, and perform every action, every exercise of prayer, make every confession and communion as if they were the last of your life. Imagine yourself every hour at the point of death, stretched on a bed, and that you hear that which announces your departure from this world. Oh, how powerfully will this thought assist you to walk in the way of God, and to detach your heart from this earth. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord shall come, he shall find him so doing. He who expects death every hour will die well, though death should come suddenly upon him. Affections and prayers. Every Christian ought to be prepared to say at the moment the news of death is announced to him, "Then, my God, only a few hours remain. During the short remainder of the present life, I wish to love thee to the utmost of my power, that I may love thee more perfectly in heaven. But little remains for me to offer to thee. I offer thee these pains, and the sacrifice of my life in union with the sacrifice which Jesus Christ offered for me on the cross. Lord, the pains which I suffer are few and light compared with what I've deserved. Such as they are, I embrace them as a mark of the love which I bear thee. Provided I am to love thee for eternity, I resign myself to all the punishments which thou wishest to send me in this or the next life. Chastise me as much as thou pleasest, but do not deprive me of thy love. I know that, on account of having so often despised thy love, I deserve never more to love thee. But thou canst not reject a penitent soul. I'm sorry, O Sovereign Good, for having offended thee. I love thee with my whole heart, and place all my trust in thee. Thy death, O my Redeemer, is my hope. To thy wounded hands I recommend my soul. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, the God of truth. O my Jesus, thou hast given thy blood for my salvation. Do not suffer me to be separated from thee. I love thee, O eternal God, and hope to love thee for eternity. Mary, my mother, assist me at the awful moment of death. To thee I now resign my spirit. To thee I recommend myself. Deliver me from hell. Consideration 11. Value of time. Son, observe the time. First point. Time is a treasure of the earth. Son, says the Holy Ghost, be careful to preserve time, which is the greatest and most precious gift which God can bestow upon you in this life. The very pagans knew the value of time. Seneca said that no price is an equivalent for it, but the saints have understood its value still better. According to St. Bernardine of Siena, a moment of time is of as much value as God, because in each moment a man can, by acts of contrition or of love, acquire the grace of God and eternal glory. Time is a treasure which is found only in this life. It is not found in the next, either in hell or in heaven. In hell, the damned exclaim with tears, "Oh, that an hour was given to us!" They would pay any price for an hour of time in which they might repair their ruins. But this hour they will never have. In heaven, there is no weeping, but were the saints capable of weeping, all their tears would arise from the thought of having lost the time in which they could have acquired greater glory, and from the conviction that this time will never again be given to them. A deceased Benedictine nun appeared in glory to a certain person and said that she was perfectly happy, but that if she could desire anything, it would be to return to life and to suffer pains and privations in order to merit an increase of glory. She added that for the glory which corresponds to a single Ave Maria, she would be content to endure till the day of judgment the painful illness which caused her death. My brother, how do you spend your time? Why do you always defer until tomorrow what you can do today? Remember that the time which is past is no longer yours. The future is not under your control. You have only the present for the performance of good works. Why, O miserable man, says Saint Bernard, do you presume on the future as if the Father had placed time in your power? Saint Augustine asks, how can you, who are not sure of an hour, promise yourself tomorrow? If then, says Saint Teresa, you are not prepared for death today, tremble, lest you die an unhappy death. Affections and prayers. O my God, I thank thee for the time which thou givest me to repair the disorders of my past life. Were I to die at this moment, the remembrance of the time I have lost should be one of my greatest torments. Ah, my Lord, thou hast given me time to love thee, and I have spent it in offending thee. I deserve to be sent to hell from the first moment in which I turn my back upon thee. But thou hast called me to repentance and hast pardoned me. I promise to offend thee no more, but how often have I returned to sin? How often hast thou pardoned my ungrateful relapses? Blessed forever be thy mercy. If it were not infinite, how couldst thou have had so much patience with me? Who could have borne with me so long? Oh, how sorry do I feel for having offended so good a God. My Savior, the patience alone with which thou didst wait for me ought to enamor me of thee. Ah, do not suffer me to live any longer ungrateful to the love thou hast had for me. Detach me from every creature, and draw me entirely to thyself. O my God, I will no longer dissipate the time thou givest me to repair the evil that I have done. I will spend it all in serving and loving thee. Give me holy perseverance. I love thee, O infinite goodness, and hope to love thee for eternity. I thank thee. O Mary, by the advocacy thou hast obtained for me this time which is given to me, assist me now and obtain for me the grace to spend it all in loving thy Son, my Redeemer, and in loving thee, my Queen and my Mother. Second point, neglect of time. There is nothing more precious than time, but there is nothing less esteemed and more despised by men of the world. This is what Saint Bernard deplores when he says, "Nothing is more precious than time, but nothing is regarded more cheaply." The same saint adds, "The days of salvation pass away, and no one reflects that the day which has passed away from him can never return. You will see a gambler spend nights and days in play. If you ask him what he's doing, his answer is, 'I'm passing the time.' You will see others standing several hours in the street, looking at those who pass by, and speaking on obscene or on useless subjects. If you ask them what they're doing, they will say, 'We are passing the time.' Poor blind sinners, who lose so many days, but days which never return. O time despised during life, you will be ardently desired by worldlings at the hour of death. They will then wish for another year, another month, another day, but they will not obtain it. They will then be told that time shall be no longer. How much would they then pay for another week or another day to settle the accounts of their conscience? To obtain a single hour, they would, says St. Lawrence Justinian, give all their wealth and worldly possessions. But this hour shall not be given. The assisting priest shall say to the dying sinner, 'Hasten, hasten your departure from this world, for your time is no more.'" The prophet exhorts us to remember God and to procure his friendship before the light fails. "Remember thy Creator before the sun and the light be darkened." How great the distress and the misery of a traveler who, when the night has come, perceives that he has missed the way and that there's no time to correct the mistake. Such at death will be the anguish of the sinner who has lived many years in the world and has not spent them for God. The night cometh when no man can work. For him, death shall be the night in which he will be able to do nothing. "He hath called against me the time." Conscience will then remind the worldling of all the time that God gave him, and that he has spent in the destruction of his soul, of all the calls and graces that he has received from God for his sanctification, and that he has voluntarily abused. The sinner will then see that the way of salvation is closed forever. Hence he will weep and say, "O fool that I've been! O time lost! O life misspent! O lost years in which I could have, but have not, become a saint. And now the time of salvation is gone forever. But of what use are these sighs and lamentations when the scene is about to close, the lamp on the point of being extinguished, and when the dying sinner has reached that awful moment on which eternity depends?" Affections and prayers. Ah, my Jesus, thou hast spent thy whole life for the salvation of my soul. There has not been a single moment of thy life in which thou hast not offered thyself to the eternal Father to obtain for me pardon and eternal glory. I have been so many years in the world, and how many of them have I hitherto spent for thee? Ah, all that I remember to have done produces remorse of conscience. The evil has been great, the good very little, and all full of imperfections and tepidity, of self-love and distractions. Ah, my Redeemer, all this has arisen from my forgetfulness of what thou hast done for me. I have forgotten thee, but thou hast not forgotten me. When I fled from thee, thou didst follow me and call me so often to thy love. Behold me, O Jesus, I will resist no longer. Shall I wait till thou abandon me? I am sorry, O Sovereign Good, for having separated myself from thee by sin. I love thee, O infinite goodness, worthy of infinite love. Ah, do not permit me ever again to lose this time which thou in thy mercy givest me. Ah, remind me always, O my beloved Savior, of the love thou hast borne me and of the pains thou hast endured for me. Make me forget all things, that during the remainder of my life I may think only of loving and pleasing thee. I love thee, my Jesus, my love, my all. I promise, whenever thou remindest me, to make acts of love. Give me holy perseverance. I place all my confidence in the merits of thy blood. I also trust in thy intercession, O my dear mother, Mary. Third point, we must profit by time. Walk whilst thou have light. We must walk in the way of the Lord during life, now that we have light, for at the hour of death, this light is taken away. Death is not the time for preparing, but for finding ourselves prepared. Be ye ready. At the hour of death, we can do nothing. What is then done is done. O God, were a person told that in a short time a trial should take place, on which would depend his life and his entire property, with what haste would he seek an able counsel to plead his cause? How little time would he lose in adopting every means of securing a favorable result? And what are we doing? We know for certain that the most important of all causes, the affair of eternal salvation, will soon be decided. The decision may take place every hour, and still we lose time. Some may say, I'm young, I will hereafter give myself to God. But remember that, as the gospel remarks, the Lord cursed the fig tree the first time he found it without fruit, although the season for figs had not arrived. By this, Jesus Christ wished to signify that men should be all times, even in youth, bring forth fruits of good works. Otherwise they will be accursed and will never more bring forth fruit. May no man hereafter eat fruit of thee any more forever. Such the malediction of the Redeemer on the fruitless fig tree. Such is his malediction against all who resist his calls. Satan regards the whole time of our life as short, and therefore, in tempting us, he loses not a moment. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Then the devil loses no time in seeking our perdition. And shall we lose the time given to us to secure our salvation? Some will say, what evil am I doing? O God, is it not an evil to lose time in gaming, in useless conversations, which are unprofitable to the soul? Does God give you time that you may squander it? No. The Holy Ghost says, defraud not thyself of the good day, and let not the part of a good gift overpass thee. The workmen mentioned by St. Matthew, though they did no evil, but only lost time, were rebuked by the master of the vineyard. Why stand ye here all the day idle? On the day of judgment, Jesus Christ will demand an account of every idle word. All the time that is not spent for God is lost time. Believe, says St. Bernard, that you have lost all the time in which you have not thought of God. Hence the Holy Ghost says, whatsoever thy hand is able to do, do it earnestly, for neither work nor reason shall be in hell, whither thou art hastening. The venerable Sister Jane of the Most Holy Trinity, of the Order of St. Teresa, used to say that in the lives of the saints there is no tomorrow. Tomorrow is found in the lives of sinners, who always say, hereafter, hereafter, and in this state they continue till death. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If God calls you today to do good, do it, for tomorrow it may happen that for you time will be no more, or that God will call you no more. If you have hitherto spent the time in offending God, endeavor, like King Hezekiah, to weep during the remainder of your life over your misspent years. I will recount to thee all my years in the bitterness of my soul. God spares your life that you may repair the time you have lost. In explaining this passage, St. Anselm says, you will redeem the time if you do what you have neglected to do. Of St. Paul, St. Jerome says that though the last of the apostles, he was, on account of his great labors after he was called, the first in merits. Let us reflect that at each moment of time, we may acquire new treasures of eternal riches. Were all the land round which you could walk, or all the money which you could count in a day, promised to you, would you not hasten to walk over the ground or count the money? At each moment, you can acquire eternal treasures. Will you notwithstanding squander your time? Say not what you can do today you will be able to do tomorrow, for this day will then be lost and never return. When his companion spoke of the world, St. Francis Borgia conversed with God by holy affections, and so recollected was he that when his opinion was asked on the subject of conversation, he knew not what to answer. Being corrected for this, he said, I would rather be regarded stupid and unlearned than lose time. Affections and prayers. Know, my God, I will no longer lose the time which thou in thy mercy givest me. I should at this hour be in hell weeping without fruit. I thank thee for having preserved my life. I wish during the remainder of my days to live only for thee. Were I now in hell, I should weep in despair and without profit. I will now bewail the offenses I have offered to thee, and if I weep over them, I know for certain that thou wilt pardon me. Of this, the prophet assures me, weeping thou shalt not weep. He will surely have pity on thee. Were I in hell, I could never more love thee, and now I love thee and hope always to love thee. Were I in hell, I could ask no more graces, but now I hear thee say, ask, and ye shall receive. Since then I still have time to ask thy graces, O God of my soul, I ask two graces. Give me perseverance in thy grace, give me thy love, and then do with me what thou pleasest. Grant that in all the remaining moments of my life I may always recommend myself to thee, saying, Lord, assist me, have mercy on me. Grant that I may never more offend thee, make me love thee. Most Holy Mary, my Mother, obtain for me the grace always to recommend myself to God, and to ask him for perseverance and for his holy love. Consideration 12. The Importance of Salvation. But we entreat ye, brethren, that you attend to your own business. First point. Salvation is our own most important affair. The business of eternal salvation is to us the most important of all affairs, but it is also the most neglected by Christians. They are diligent and lose no time in seeking to gain a lawsuit or a situation of enrichment. How many measures taken to attain these objects? How many means adopted? They neither eat nor sleep, and what efforts do they make to secure their eternal salvation? How do they live? To save their souls, the greater number of Christians do nothing. On the contrary, they do everything to bring their souls to perdition. They live as if death, judgment, hell, heaven, and eternity were not truths of faith, but fables invented by the poets. If a person loses a lawsuit or a harvest crop, how great is his pain and distress of mind? With what zeal does he labor to repair the loss? If worldlings lose a horse or a dog, with what diligence do they seek after it? But if they lose the grace of God, they sleep and jest and laugh. All blush at being told that they neglect their worldly affairs, but how few are ashamed to neglect the business of eternity, which is the most important of all. The worldling says that the saints were truly wise, because they sought only the salvation of their souls, and still he attends to all worldly business, but utterly neglects the concerns of the soul. Brethren, says St. Paul, let the great business of your eternal salvation be the sole object of all your care. This is to you the most important of all affairs. Let us then be persuaded that eternal salvation is for us the most important affair, the only affair, and that if once neglected, it is an irreparable affair if we ever make a mistake. It is the most important affair because if the soul be lost, all is lost. We ought to get a higher value on the soul than on all the goods of the earth. The soul, says St. Chrysostom, is more precious than the whole world. To be convinced of this truth, it is enough to know that God himself has condemned his Son to death in order to save our souls. The eternal Word has not refused to purchase them with his own blood. Hence, a holy father says that man appears to be of as much value as God. Hence, Jesus Christ has asked, "What exchange shall a man give for his soul?" For God so loved the world as to give his only begotten Son. If then such is the value of the soul, for what earthly good shall a man exchange and lose it? St. Philip Neri, with reason, could say that he who does not attend to the salvation of his soul is a fool. Were there on this earth two classes of men, one mortal and the other immortal, and were the former to see the latter seeking after the things of this world, its honors, its goods and amusements, they should certainly exclaim, "O fools that you are! You have it in your power to acquire eternal riches, and do you fix your thoughts on those miserable and transitory things? Will you for these condemn yourselves to an eternity of torments in the next life? Leave us, for whom all shall end at death, to seek after these earthly goods. But no, we are all immortal. How then does it happen that so many lose their souls for the miserable pleasures of this life? How does it come to pass," says Salvian, "that Christians believe in judgment, hell, and eternity, and still live as if they feared them not?" Affections and prayers. Ah, my God, how have I spent so many years which thou hast given me in order to secure my eternal salvation? Thou, my Redeemer, hast purchased my soul with thy blood, and hast consigned it to me that I might attend to its salvation. And I have labored only for its perdition by offending thee who hast loved me so tenderly. I thank thee for giving me time to be able to repair the great loss which I have suffered. I have lost my soul and thy grace. Lord, I am sorry with my whole heart for my past offenses, and I resolve henceforth to lose everything, even my life, rather than forfeit thy friendship. I love thee above all things, and I resolve always to love thee, my sovereign good, who art worthy of infinite love. Assist me, my Jesus, that this purpose may not be like my past resolutions, to which I have been always unfaithful. Take me out of life rather than suffer me ever to offend thee again, or ever to cease to love thee. O Mary, my hope after Jesus, save me by obtaining for me holy perseverance. Second point, salvation is our only affair. The affair of eternal salvation is not only the most important, but it is the only affair to which we have to attend in this life. One thing is necessary. Saint Bernard weeps over the blindness of Christians who call the occupations of children trifles and their own employments business. If the amusements of children be trifles, the employments of men are still greater follies. What, says the Redeemer, will it profit us to gain the whole world if we lose our souls? My brother, if you save your soul, it will do you no harm to have lived here in poverty, afflictions, and contempt, for then you will have no more sorrows, and you will be happy for all eternity. But if you lose your soul, what will it profit you in hell to have indulged in all the amusements of the world and to have enjoyed its riches and honors? If the soul be lost, amusements, riches, and honors are lost. All is lost. What answer will you give on the day of account? Were a king to send an ambassador to a city to transact some important business, and were the legate, instead of attending to the charge entrusted to him, to spend all his time in banquets, comedies, and festivities, and thus injure the rights of his master, what account would the sovereign demand of him at his return? But, O God, how strict must be the account which the Lord will exact of him, who, after being placed in this world, not to indulge in amusements, not to acquire wealth and dignity, but to save his soul, has attended to everything except to his own salvation. Worldlings think of the present, but not of the future. St. Philip Neri, conversing one day in Rome with Francis Azara, a young man of talent, who was attached to the world, said to him, "You will realize a great fortune. You will be a prelate, afterward perhaps a cardinal, and perhaps even pope. But what must follow? What must follow? Go," said the saint, "and meditate on these last words." Francis went home, and after reflecting on the words, "What must follow? What must follow?" he abandoned his secular pursuits, left the world, entered into the congregation of St. Philip, and began to attend only to God. We will continue with the importance of salvation in The Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori on tape number 4. Please join us.